We come now to a consideration of one of a number of problems that has a demoralizing and distressing effect upon people. We have been setting ourselves now setting apart the time for Sunday nights to embark on a new series of studies entitled The Problems That People Face and How They May Be Solved. In this instance, it's not only the person who has the problem is the sufferer, but this is the type of problem that affects other people besides. And the problem that we're considering is that of addiction. Addiction is, as it affects people adversely, that habit, that practice, that activity that has control over the person given to it. And the control is such that it can't be successfully resisted in human strength alone. It can't be broken off. It can't be gotten over. It can't be defeated. That control is strong. Addiction, as we generally understand it, is enslavement to things that are wrong and harmful to ourselves and to others. Now, there are two kinds of enslavement in the Bible, and this is an interesting truth to point out. One is harmful, sinful, and degrading. Another enhances our lives and is honoring to God. And we'll notice that later in the service. But it's the former that I want us to consider for a while tonight. Harmful addiction, which is a great problem to many. It's a terrible problem. There's terrible ramifications. But praise God, it can be solved for those that are gripped thereby. There are three things that I want to draw your attention to about this problem of addiction. First of all, how it is experienced. How does a person be led hold of by addiction? Well, there are three elements to this experience. And all taken together, they lead a person into addiction. First of all, there is the external factor, something that happens outside of the man or the woman. And that is the principle of evil, of iniquity, of sin. Sin is God's standard being violated. The Shorter Catechism, as I've often said here, and it bears repeating tonight, gives us a tremendous definition of sin, which is any want of conformity unto transgression of the law of God. There are two truths there, or two faults, if you like. One of them is a failure to reach the standard that God has set in his law. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The other element is a going beyond what God has allowed. It's a violating God's prohibitions. And this is what sin basically is. It is personified in the Bible as a slave master. And whenever we carry out his commands, that is sin's commands, we do so as slaves. John chapter 8, verse 34. Notice the verse. It's a tremendous verse. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." And that word servant, it's not just a house servant. It's not just somebody that does a menial task for somebody else. It's actually the word used for slave. Somebody who's in abject misery being a slave of someone else. And the Lord Jesus says, whosoever committeth sin, habitually sins, is a slave to it. And this principle of sin is a terrible slave master. For instance, away over there in Romans chapter 6, we read it earlier. Let me read you verse 16 again. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants, that word servants is slaves. We could read that to whom ye yield yourselves slaves to obey. His slaves ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So what we're learning here is there's an external factor that leads people to become addicted to things that are wrong. You remember the Lord Jesus said in John 14, coming near the end of his life on earth, coming near to his crucifixion. And in verse 30 of chapter 14 of John's Gospel, he says this, "Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me." In other words, there's nothing in my life, nothing in my nature, that the devil can latch on to or appeal to for help. Now that brings me to the second strand. Not only the external factor, but the internal factor. Every one of us has a sinful nature residing within. We have been born with that nature. We have inherited it from Adam. It's flawed, it's defiled, and it's impaired. And whenever sin comes along and presents itself for us to do wrong, it has got an ally within us, our sinful nature. And that is an excuse for us to give in to the particular thing that we shouldn't give in to, which is later, eventually, going to cause us to be addicted to it. So the first factor here in the experiencing of addiction is the external. Sin presents itself by way of temptation from without. The internal, we have a sinful nature with which we are born, an ally to sin and temptation. And then the third thing is the volitional factor, our wills, our volition. Whenever the external and the internal come together, then the will gives the final decision. The will says yes to the temptation, and that's the start of the addiction taking place. It's that pleasure, it's saying yes to that pleasure, that's not a lawful pleasure, that's desired and submitted to, and that we have an increasing fascination for. Then there comes a time we discover it has a grip on us. We can't get out of it. It becomes a chain, a fetter. It binds us to it. And no amount of effort on our part can cause its control over us to be relinquished. And hence, we become addicted. That's how people arrive at situations where they're bound to their sin, where they're bound to habits, where they're bound to things that were very attractive to them early on, but because they succumbed to that and became habitually involved in that, they are now addicted to this, that, or the other. So that's the first thing, how it's experienced. But I want you to notice, secondly, how it is expressed. How do we know whenever a person becomes addicted to something? Well, there are two things. First of all, there's the habits that are established. This giving in to this particular seduction of sin that leads on to a habit, an inclination, a custom, a propensity, through doing the things constantly. Let me give you the first instance. Alcohol. I suppose it's probably the best known or one of the top number of things that people are addicted to. The man who takes a drink for the first time, maybe a young person. They do it maybe under peer pressure, maybe to be one of the gang. And then they find out that this alcohol and all that's associated with it has a fascination for them. And then they find themselves spending a lot of time, a lot of money, and they're drinking and drinking, and maybe become inebriated. And then they come to the place in their lives that they realize, hi, I need to stop this. And that's when they find that they're addicted. The habit becomes so strong. The habit becomes so binding that try they what they may, they cannot get off that habit. It's the same with nicotine. For people who smoke, who'll tell you this, while it doesn't have the same connotation as alcohol, yet it is a habit that people get addicted to. It's the nicotine within the cigarette. And there's that yearning for a smoke. Even people, first thing in the morning, before they would even take a cup of tea, they have to have a smoke. They have to have a smoke no matter what they're doing throughout the day. Why? Because they're addicted to the nicotine that is in the tobacco and in the cigarette. What about the people, and we hear so much today about drug taking, illicit drug taking, drugs that are not prescribed. Think of the addiction that they bring. The young people are tempted to go on to it, and maybe people not so young. And there's something in the type of drug that they're using that gives them kicks, as they say, puts them on a high. And then they generally and gradually recede from that. And they find that there's something within them that's longing for that to be topped up again. And hence they become more intensely involved in the drug taking. And before too long, they know they have a mighty problem with addiction. It's the same with gluttony. Now, I know that people laugh at this. That talk about people liking this type of food, liking the other type. But whatever the type, people take far too much of food very often. And I don't want to be facetious about it or hurtful about it, but it so often shows with obesity. And what is it? It's an addiction. Of course, we all got to eat, but we need to be moderate. We don't need to overindulge. But some people, sadly, food is something that they like to spend a lot of time in and consume a lot of it. And really, gluttony is something that is addictive. Let me give you another instance of it. Gambling. A person who will, in modern day times, it's all the lottery now. But it used to be football pools. I don't know if they still do them or not. It was the horses. Anything where there's a bet involved. People love to gamble. They started off, they put a shilling or a few pence on this horse or that, and before long they found themselves making their way to the bookies every so often, spending a lot of time there, losing a lot of money there, maybe winning some, tasting of the pleasure, and then they find themselves, as people used to talk about the gambler, betting on two flies going up a wall. Maybe funny to look at it in those terms, but it's not funny whenever one is addicted by that. And the same for wealth. People are addicted by greed. They always want to be making money or talking about money. What is it? Nothing short of being addicted to material things. The Apostle Paul has this to say in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12. I will not be brought under the power of any. The word power there means authority. He says, none of these things are going to be an authority to me. There's a man that knew that he was not going to be caught in snares. But what about the people who are caught? We've looked at the habits that are established. That's how it's expressed. And then secondly, the heartbreak that follows. I don't need to tell you of the heartbreak that has come over the years to people who become drunkards and alcoholics. Heartbreak to themselves and sadly to their wives and children. Even to the point very often of the breakup of home because of the behavior of the husband. It's the same with gambling as it is with alcohol and with other matters. Let me read something to you. I came across this last night when I was preparing for this. It makes sad reading. It's about a young lady She was 22 years old, and she made choices that put her out on the streets as a prostitute. Very sadly, the young lady died whenever she was just 22 years of age. There was notice of her death on the paper for this reason, that found among her belongings there was a tremendous poem. And this poem had to do with what she wrote, bemoaning the fact that she was living a lifestyle that she couldn't break off. Now let me read this part of the poem to you. This is what she wrote. "Once I was pure as the snow, but I fell. Fell like the snowflakes from heaven to hell. Fell to be trampled as filth in the street. Fell to be scoffed, to be spat on and beat. Pleading, cursing, dreading to die. Selling my soul to whoever would buy. Dealing in shame for a morsel of bread. Hating the living and fearing the dead. Merciful God, have I fallen so low? And yet, I was once like the beautiful snow. Once I was fair as the beautiful snow, with an eye like its crystal and heart like its glow. Once I was loved for my innocent grace, flattered and sought for the charms of my face. Father, mother, sister and all, God and myself, I have lost by my fall. The various wretch that goes shivering by will make a wide swoop, lest I wander too nigh. For all that is on or above me, I know there is nothing so pure as the beautiful snow." A young woman who got into the awful addiction of prostitution and all that that stands for, which brought shame and heartbreak and death to her and heartbreak to her loved ones. So what we've looked at tonight is how it begins, how it originates, how it enters, how addiction is experienced. The external factor of sin presenting itself, the internal factor, the old nature, and then the factor of our wills making the choice. And then addiction comes and it expresses itself in these habits. And I have only mentioned some. There are other habits, not as bad, but if the truth be told, we can't break them of ourselves. They're addictions and the awful heartbreak that follows. But let me come to the last matter. How addiction is ended. And it's my joy tonight to tell you that it can end. It can be finished. Its power can be broken. It can be conquered. So that the problem ceases to be a problem. And a great triumph and conquest comes into the life. Not only of the drunkard or the drug abuser. Not only of these more noticeable things that we have mentioned. But the wee things that probably we're gripped by ourselves and wouldn't like to acknowledge. There's victory for us in all of these things. We don't have to be addicted. Now, I want you to notice how this comes about. First of all, the overpowering of addiction, the conquering of addiction, has to do, first and foremost, with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, turn back to John chapter 8 and notice verse 34 again. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." Now verse 36. "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." That's a tremendous truth, friend. There is freedom. There is release. There is emancipation. There is liberty. And it comes to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first thing we've got to keep in mind. It's the Lord who sets the prisoner free. And he says it comes by knowing the truth. Which introduces us to the Bible. Now what is the truth? It's the truth, first of all, about the Lord Jesus himself. Who he is. He's the Son of God. He's God the Son. He's the second person in the Godhead. Co-equal with the Father and the Holy Spirit. He's the one that went to the cross of Calvary to provide salvation for sinners and to deliver us from the power of sin. And He is the one with whom we must start. He's the one that gives that great initial victory the moment we get saved, the moment we trust our lives to Him. So the truth concerns the Lord Jesus, it concerns ourselves, and it concerns God's plan of deliverance. So the whole principle of addiction, the whole principle of sin, has to be dealt with by the Lord Jesus Christ before any one part of it can be dealt with. What is addiction? It's just this sin, or that sin, or the other sin. But it's only part of the whole awful principle of sin. And thank God, through the death of Christ, and through the precious blood of Christ, there is victory over addiction, over sin. You remember what Peter said about the Lord Jesus Christ having great power to deliver us from sin, its condemnation, its contamination, and its control. Listen to what Peter said in 1 Peter 1, verse 18. For as much as ye know, ye were not redeemed. And that word means set free by the payment of a price. That means being liberated. Ye were set free. You experienced great release. Not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. So this ending of addiction is to do with Christ and His blood atonement. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7, Paul writing to the Ephesians says, we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. That word redemption again, it means the setting free of a captive by the payment of a price. Now that poem I read you there a few minutes ago, somebody came across it, and they wrote another verse to it. Let me read the verse. Helpless and foul as the trampled snow, sinner, despair not, Christ stoopeth low to rescue the soul that is lost in its sin and raise it to life and enjoyment again, groaning, bleeding, dying for thee. The crucified hung, met a curse on the tree. His accents of mercy fall soft on thine ear. Is there mercy for me? Will He heed my prayer? O God, in the stream that for sinners doth flow, wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. That's where we start, friend. We can never be free from addiction unless the power of sin, unless the principle of sin is acknowledged and dealt with by the blood atonement of our Lord Jesus Christ. But you say, preacher, I am a Christian, and I do give in to these temptations. I do find myself addicted to things that I can't stop. What now? Well, we have to start initially. You need to be trusting Christ as your Savior. The Lord says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. How does He do it? Well, He does it initially through His blood atonement and our reception of Christ. But this is why we read Romans chapter 6. And I want you to turn to this now. I want you to turn to this passage and see how God works this whole thing out in our experience. But before we turn to Romans 6, let me draw your attention to Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, where we read these words. Work out your own salvation. Now there's some statement. In fear and trembling. Something we have to do. But it's something we have. We have salvation. But Paul says, work it out. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it's God that worketh in you both to will and to do. In other words, he's saying, when you have a problem with addiction, even as a Christian, you don't sit back and do nothing. You trust the Lord, and then you do your part, what God wants you to do. And this is where the great victory can be enjoyed day by day. Work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. Now, Romans chapter 6. Notice verse 12. He's writing to Christians. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof. The Lord doesn't want us to be sitting idly by and say, oh, I have no victory, I have no deliverance, I pray and nothing happens. God wants you to, from the basis of what He has put into your life, He wants you now to begin to live it out. And the first thing that He's saying here is, you've got to recognize that there's still sin in the body, in the perishing body. He says, let not sin reign in your body. Sin wants to reign, but He says, you don't let it reign. This is something we've got to do. He says, don't let it reign, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. It's just ready to strike at us. We've always got to be on our guard. We've got to battle it in the strength of the Lord. Notice the next verse. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. What are our members? Our members are all parts of our bodies, our faculties, our minds, our eyes, for instance. What do you watch on television? Is that a factor in you becoming addicted to indecency, immorality, and vulgarity? Are you watching lewdness and obscenity and vulgarity? The Lord says, you'll not have power over addiction by yielding your eyes to that. Do you keep company with people who are given to alcohol, and they say, come on, and you don't have to drink alcohol. Take lemonade or orange juice or something. No, the Lord says, you're not to yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Sin's the slave owner, remember. And what He's saying is, we're not to do that now. We're not to yield our members to Him. But notice the converse of that, verse 13. But yield yourselves unto God. There's the other slave owner. I told you earlier that there were two slave owners. There's sin and there is righteousness. There is wickedness and there is purity and truth. There is a devil and there is God. And what the Lord is saying is, you want to be free from the power of sin. You want to be free from addiction. Don't yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness, but yield yourselves to God. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 17, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. We have to be disciplining ourselves. Notice again, verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants or slaves to obey, his servants ye are. His slaves ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. You have a choice. You have a choice. If you're troubled by habits that are binding, you either yield the faculties of your being, your body, the parts of your body, your mind, you either yield them to sin, you give in, or you say, no, that's not for me. I belong to God. Sin's not my slave master now. God is my slave master. The Son has set me free. He has delivered me from the power of sin. Therefore, I yield myself unto God. And if you keep doing that whenever the temptations come, you'll be experiencing victory whenever those addictive temptations come your way. Notice verse 17. But God be thanked that ye were the slaves of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. That's whenever you became a Christian. But being then, verse 18, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. That's how it is with us positionally. That's how we stand tonight. If we're trusting Christ as our Savior, if we're saved, we're actually delivered from sin as a slave master, and now we're under the control of Christ as our Lord and Master. We are His slaves. And what the Apostle is saying here is, we have become His servants, His slaves. Notice verse 19, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. And that, my dear friend, is the way that addictions are broken and deliverance is experienced. Maybe you're not a Christian and you're troubled with some of these habits, or maybe some of them we never even mentioned. And you wonder what the future is going to hold for you. How is this all going to end in the days to come? You realize it's dragging you deeper and deeper into sin. You need tonight to come to Christ. That's the first thing. He can liberate you. He can save you. He can break the power of sin in your life. And that's what he does when you're converted. But then you're going to be tempted day by day. Sin will not give up easily on you. But you're not in that domain any longer. And that's why you need to come to Romans 6 and notice those verses. Verse 12, don't let sin reign in your body. Verse 13, don't yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but yield yourselves to God. And then in verse 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves, slaves to obey, his slave you are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Make sure that you don't give in to temptation. Make sure you don't give in to the subtleties of sin, but instead keep yielding your members to Christ. Now let me say there's something very important. Frances Ridley Havergal, in one of her hymns in our hymn book, writes a tremendous hymn. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. And if you notice in that hymn, she goes down the different parts, our different members, and she's consecrating each of them to the Lord. It's not enough just to say, Lord, here's my life. I hand it over to you. That's good. That's important. But what we should say is, Lord, here are my eyes. You take them for your glory. And don't let me be watching things or reading things that I ought not to be doing. Lord, here's my mind. People can't see what I'm doing with my mind. And while I wouldn't do certain things physically, I can do them in fantasy. Lord, here's my mind. Don't let me be given to these unclean fantasies. And if you keep doing that with the different faculties and parts of your body, according to Paul in Romans 6, you're going to be more and more enjoying the power of the victory of the Christian life. And less will these addictions be a problem to you. And you'll find that the Lord will give you complete deliverance. Notice verse 14 as we close. For sin shall not have dominion over you. It's a very real problem, the problem of addiction. And I sympathize with those who are caught in it, in these terrible matters that people know are addiction and that affect loved ones and others so much. But the answer is in God's Word. The answer is in the Lord Jesus. The answer is in His precious blood. The answer is in that salvation that He has put into us. The answer is now in working out what God has put in and yielding ourselves in our various parts to the Lord continually, and especially whenever the addictive temptation comes, say, Lord, I'm not yielding this to the devil, to sin. I'm yielding myself to Thee. And you'll find there's sweet victory. Thanks be unto God that giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.